Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. First of all, I should apologize for being late, although it's not so bad because you're having a good kirtan there. Time was utilized by chanting the holy names of the Lord. I had the good fortune to briefly take the association of Keshav Bharati Maharaj, make some arrangement for the ladies to sit out there, some satranji or something. You can do it like that. So he has some health problems, slip disc, something like that. He's in the guest house, so you can all go and take his association. Highly recommended. Very good for spiritual advancement. There are many questions. To indicate there are many questions, is it? All have lots of questions. Well, I have a question, but you're not answering it. See, maybe not. All right, what should I tell you? Well, first of all, it's very good that you're all coming here. Despite, this is what I said last time I was here, that in Delhi, the atmosphere among the young, so-called educated people is very strongly one of work hard, make lots of money, and be a damn fool, and live sinfully. Be a damn fool means that what they think is very intelligent, means eat lots of meat, drink lots of wine, have lots of sex, don't care for your parents or anyone else, and don't do anything spiritual or religious. So that's the general atmosphere, isn't it? But nevertheless, you are coming. Congratulations for that. What should be our motto? What should be the motto of everyone in the human form of life? Especially young people can think of this and take advantage. Labdva su duralavamidang bahu sambhavante manusham artadama nityam apihadhira turanam yatezanapatedanu rityayava nishrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvata syat. I'm quoting this verse again and again and again. It should be quoted again and again and again. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told that in his childhood he used to see this verse every day because Bhaktivinoda Thakur had kept it framed on the wall in his house. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur vowed to repeatedly state this verse throughout his life. So if you're ever going anywhere preaching, you can tell this to whoever you meet. It's also very good to remind ourselves by repeating it again and again. What is it? It is, this verse is from Lord Krishna's teachings to Uddhava in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, known as Uddhava Gita, in which he says, Lord Krishna says, that having attained this human form of life, which is very rare, it is attained after many births, one should consider that this human form of life is very valuable. But it is also temporary. So one should be very sober. It's just the opposite of what you're recommended to be in modern Delhi. In modern Delhi, you're recommended to be adhira. Don't control your senses. Be very much in the mode of passion. But Lord Krishna recommends, be sober. Think carefully. Think deeply. modern education, does anyone ever recommend that you think soberly or deeply? Does anyone recommend that you think at all? I mean, think at a certain level is there. Think how to solve some, you know, some calculus problem or something like that. But think about the purpose of life. They give that along with the education. It's not stated, but it's implicit that the purpose of life, according to these fools and rascals and demons and cheaters who are misleading the whole human society, the purpose of life is simply to enjoy the senses and to hell with anyone else. I am number one. Make yourself number one. But actually, in every respect, they're cheating you, because the modern educational system is set up to make people think that they are getting a good deal, whereas in fact, even if you get a good salary, I'm earning 50,000 rupees a month, great salary, but actually they're just exploiting you and cheating you, because if they're paying you 50,000 rupees a month, they're extracting 50 lakhs minimum worth of work out of you. That's the way it goes. So dhira, one should be dhira, one should be very sober to consider these points. One should consider that I have to die. And before we die, we should live our lives in such a way that we don't have to get born again. Now, if you say, well, what about enjoying ourselves? Let me enjoy myself. And Lord Krishna says, you already did that. You already did it as a camel, as an ass, as a monkey, as an Indra, as a worm in stool. You already did it. And if you don't take this opportunity in the human form of life to become self-realized, then you will again get the opportunity to enjoy your senses as a camel, as an ass, as a dog, as a cat, as an Indra, as a tree, as a worm in stool, and so on. That's why the human form of life is valuable. Because only in the human form of life do we have the opportunity to even consider these things. The tree is standing. Sometimes some trees stand for thousands of years with very little consciousness. No opportunity to consider what is the value of human life. Prahlad Maharaj says a similar thing. Kumara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durabang manushan janma tadapya dhruva martata. Hearing the cry of the baby, that reminded me, Kumara, from the beginning of life, one should be pragya, means enlightened. I mean, you think, well, how can a baby be enlightened? But the point is, as soon as possible, don't waste time. Just like in modern life, they start educating the children from as soon as their cognizance takes any kind of ordered form, they start to educate. And even they've started to realize what's there in the Bhagavatam, is told in the Bhagavatam, that children's education begins within the womb. You're putting your hand in your mouth. That's not clean. You please go and wash it. This is instruction from Prabhupada. Not you, I didn't see you. If you did, you can do also. But who's sitting behind you? Having put your hand in your mouth, please go and wash it. This is an instruction I personally imbibed from Srila Prabhupada. Aapko nahi, aap mume hat dala kya? Aapko, aap bhi. Everyone does. In modern age, they don't teach even what you're supposed to learn as children. He's also doing. Everyone's. This is for babies, chewing your fingers. It's a bad habit. It's against bhakti to do so. So what was I saying? Kumara, you don't the Bhagavatam teaches that education begins in the womb. Now they discovered that Bhagavatam taught long ago. Prahlad Maharaj, he learned in the womb. So from the very beginning of life, one should imbibe Krishna consciousness. Because human life, the same point is made. Durlabham manusham janma. It's very rare. Does everyone understand English, by the way? Koi hai jo angrezi nahi samajhte? Sharam ki baat nahi hai? Alright, well, as we're speaking in English, so someone can translate, yeah. Or otherwise, I can speak in Hindi. I'm going to the West and it's my last chance for a few months, probably. So what should we do? Should I speak in English or you want me to speak in Hindi or kya? Okay. Sharam ki baat nahi hai agar aapko angrezi nahi aate hai. Actually, ye angrezi to nature bhasha hai. Aur vastav mein shresht bhasha ye sab adhyatmik gyan ki charcha karne ke liye Sanskrit hi hai. Ye hi bhasha. Ye sab अध्यात्मिक चर्चा के लिए और सभी भाषा जो संस्कृत के नजदीकी है हिंदी बंगाली जैसे तो अंग्रेजी से अच्छी है. It's difficult to express in English. Prabhupada made up terms like the three modes of material nature, mode of goodness and super soul and terms like this. But actually, कोई शर्म की बात नहीं है यदि कोई Angrezi and Asamasta. Actually, all the worst things are coming in English. Of course, Hindi's pretty, Bollywood movies are pretty bad too. So they're trying their best to be degraded. So, Durlabham Manusha Janma Tadapi Adhruvam Artadam. Prahlad Maharaj said the same thing. From the beginning of life, Prahlad Maharaj analyzed the human life. Adhruvam, it's not certain. You can die anytime. Being a member of a big international organization and knowing many people all over the world, I get to hear of many people dying all the time. So many of my godbrothers are dying and then young people also. It's not just that old people die. Young people by accident, by suicide, by heart attack, even young people. Someone was telling me recently. They were saying I should get a medical checkup. I said, I don't need for heart because, I'm skinny. He said, no, I knew someone. He was skinny, 30 years old, had a heart attack and died. So, say we live 100 years. Actually, hardly anyone lives 100 years. But just at least it's convenient for dividing by percentage wise. So how much percentage of our life goes in sleeping? 25%. In eating, bathroom, brushing teeth, all this kind of thing. Then the early part of life, when consciousness is not developed at all, when you come out of the womb, the child is, you can't do it, the child can't do much, can't understand much. Sickness takes up so much time. In youth, we spend so much time getting educated. If we get educated in Krishna consciousness, that's good, but mostly education Education in topics which are of no ultimate value to anyone. And actually a lot of the things we learn are not even of any value in any way whatsoever. Many of the things you learn at school. I remember at school, the teacher saying that, you know, I was complaining, this is just nonsense, the things we were being taught. And the teacher agreed. It's nonsense, but you see, you just have to learn it, and then you do the exam, and the moment you finish the exam, you can forget it all. It doesn't make any difference in your life. That was one teacher I had who was a little intelligent. He agreed it was nonsense. I said, what is this nonsense that we're learning? So a lot of the time we're learning things which are, even if it's useful for our material life, it's not going to, in the ultimate issue, it doesn't help us. At the time of death, whatever you've learned, it's actually going to be an obstacle to our higher interest. Our real interest is to understand who I am, who is Krishna, and what is our relationship. But if our head is filled with all garbage, which is called so-called education, then what is that? That's jaro bidda jato mayar bhaivar tomar bhajane badha moha janamiya anitta shangshare jivke kare gadha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who from the temporal perspective was highly educated in modern education. In those days he was English educated, which was quite rare in India up to the previous generation, the generation ahead of you, the people my age. In India at that time, English education, there wasn't, and this was 19th century. He was among the first batch, you could say, of Indians educated in English. So he was a highly placed government officer. And his conclusion was that jaro bidda, materialistic education, education about this material world, is simply another glitter of Maya. Glitter means it looks good, but there's nothing substantial there. It appears to be good, but isn't. And he says, tomar bhajane badha. It is an obstacle in bhajan to Krishna. It causes us to become more illusioned in this temporary material existence and converts the jiva into an ass. Why an ass? Because the ass carries heavy weights which are of no value to the ass. I think even in Delhi today, sometimes you still see asses carrying rocks, is it? Heavy rocks. And the little ass, you know, his legs are like this, tiny little skinny legs. Very heavy rocks he's carrying. And what does he get for doing all that? At the end of the day, he's fed some grass. The ass doesn't have to carry rocks. The grass is growing. He can take the grass without the rocks. But he thinks, I have to work for my master and he'll give me some grass. Therefore, he's called an ass. Ass means a fool. Stupid. And proud of it also. So modern education is like that, or any mundane education. By the grace of God, in nature's arrangement, there is roti kapramakan. These are the basic necessities. Indira Gandhi made campaign. Election campaign. This is all before your time. I remember. Sabkeliye roti kapramakan. Garibi hatao. Garibi abhi tak ho rahi hai. Aur jitne bhi hum prayas karenge, garibi hogi. You can't get rid of it. Not by election slogans. So, roti kapramakan, by God's arrangement, those things, the earth produces food. And cotton, you can get from the earth, and even building materials. Nowadays, people build with cement and all this. But you can build very good houses with basic materials like mud. There are houses which are standing for hundreds of years built out of mud. They mix clay and lime and straw. And there are houses like that, hundreds of years old. And they're much better than cement houses, much more healthy. Cement is actually, it's unhealthy. They have thick walls, which is cool in the summer and warm in the winter. Some of our devotees in South India, they're making their ashram, they're building it themselves out of these materials, and it's much cheaper. But people think that's primitive because they're stupid. It's better and cheaper, but people think it's primitive. We have to use modern cement. So that's natural. You see, if you go throughout India, you see that. If you go in Orissa, you'll see houses built out of big slabs of stone. That's the natural material there. In different parts. If you travel throughout Russia, still in most of Russia, the houses are built of wood. There's so much wood there. These are natural. The point is, you don't have to endeavor very much to get these things. But we made a big, complex society which we call advanced society, in which people are working hard like asses to get roti kapra makan. And even that, your makan, you go in debt your whole life just to get some apartment. There's no electricity most of the time, no water. And they call this advancement. This is ass-like civilization. Human beings converted into asses. So modern education, actually it's documented that this whole system of modern education, mass education, was brought into being in the 1920s in America by big businessmen who funded the expansion of modern education with the specific purpose of making people into workers and consumers. You should work hard, earn money, and buy things. And we'll produce all kinds of things, and you buy them, and so that all the money you earn, you give it back to us, and we'll get richer and richer and richer. And that's what's going on. It's a deliberate plot to make everyone into a foolish, hard-working consumer, buying more and more things which are of no actual benefit to him. So this is going on. Otherwise, previously, education, these universities, they were founded in medieval Europe for studying the Bible. That's what they were educated. That's the point. Education, even in the meat-eating Western countries, they consider that education means to understand God. Nowadays, education means to understand anything except God. It's practically the only subject that's banned, isn't it? In modern India. In India's culture is meant for God realization, but modern India, the only subject which they've made it illegal to, of course they teach in social studies that You know, Hindus believe this, but in a very superficial manner. But jivasya tattva jigyasa, human life is meant for inquiring about the Supreme. No one is teaching that. And it's such a lamentable situation that even if you say to anyone that human life is meant for inquiry into the Supreme, the ultimate purpose of life, what is the standard response to that? People will laugh. Is it? If you tell that life is meant for inquiry into the Supreme, they'll laugh. Laugh because actually they don't know how to deal with it. It's something that they can't imagine. They think that life means get money and enjoy. It never strikes them that we're not happy, actually. Life is arranged in such a way that everyone is very busy. What is that? There's some advertisement I was seeing in Bangalore for selling some shirts by some company that pretends it's an English company. Actually, it's an Indian company. But like that, all these clothing companies, they all have Peter England or something like that. And they're pretending it's made in England, but actually it's made in India. And you get the same quality shirt for 50 rupees in the bazaar, but if you go to the special showroom, you can spend, 700 rupees for the same quality shirt because it's got the name of some company name on it. This is nonsense. Anyway, they had an advertisement of Peter England or something like that. I don't know. Alan Solly. I don't know. I'm from England. I never heard. They say founded in England or something, but I never heard of it in England. So I think it was founded in, Faridabad or something like that. It's a very English-sounding place name, isn't it? So they have the advertisement, work hard, party harder. So that's the idea. You work hard and then you have a few moments free every week, and at that time, instead of relaxing, or you should party and spend all your money. So where is the jivasya tattva jignyasa? Where is that? Where is the inquiry into the Supreme? That requires one to be dhira, to be sober, self-controlled, introspective. But modern society makes one adhira. Anyway, we are adhira. Anyway, the senses are not controlled. But in the human form of life, one should be introspective, thoughtful, viveki. This word vivek has been much misused by some complete rascal and demon who people in India who think they're being good Hindus think that we should follow some Swami with a name something like that. But it's complete misuse. He's completely Actually, this word is a very important word. So it means we should see and analyze and discriminate. But his rascal preaching is, he himself was a meat eater. And what are you going to learn from someone who says, better to play football than read Bhagavad Gita? That's his vivek. People are so unfortunate. Even if they become interested in spiritual life, then they fall in they think, oh, I should read this Swami's books. And then you're spoiled completely. Then you're worse than if you never had any spirit. If you had no spiritual inclination, you'd be better off than someone who read his books. Because you get completely screwed up by such rascal misinterpretation. So one should be viveki. Rupa Goswami also uses this word, viveki. One should cool-headedly consider. But who is cool-headed? Everyone's pumped up. Adrenaline pumped up to the max. And what happens when you all the time, running, 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 work hard, party harder, Then what comes at some point? Doctor? Anyone can tell. Burnout. You get burned out. Then you suffer. If you're all the time stressed, because partying is also stressful. It's not a relief from stress. It's just another form of stress. Then you get burnout, which means breakdown, physical or nervous breakdown, which could, or stress can cause so many diseases. So it's not sustainable. But they don't care, because they want you, they'll work you hard, and you'll break down physically or mentally or both. And there are plenty more. There's more than 1 billion people in India, so that's what they do. Like the software companies, they'll work you, and then when you can't take it anymore, okay. Cart him off to the mental hospital, and we'll bring someone else in. In Bangalore, they're having a good business, mental hospitals. Mostly software engineers are there. Really? It's true. I'm not joking. It's a booming business. And the companies, they don't care. They go on screwing you. And then when you collapse, they bring in someone else. So better to be dhira. Step aside. Don't step into that. Step aside. Stop. Think. Where am I going? What is the purpose of life? Will you find out the purpose of life from a Pepsi advertisement? They're giving philosophy, actually. Indirectly, they're giving. Pepsi advertisement is, there's philosophy there. The philosophy is, well, drink Pepsi and eat, drink, sleep, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. That is the underlying philosophy. It's not really philosophy. Foolosophy, Prabhupada used to say. But there's a message there, isn't it? In all these at work hard, party harder, there's a message. They're giving how you should live your life. And we say, stop. Don't be fooled. Don't be cheated. Consider. Labdva sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavante. Manushyam artadam anityam apiha dhira. Be dhira. Turanam yateta napatet. Patet. You're going to fall. You're going to die. Anumritya, you're going to die. Anumritya yava nishriyasaya, vishayakalu sarvatasya. The sense gratification you're chasing after. You want sex? Monkeys are having sex. Pigeons are having sex. Every species of life is having sex. You want sex? Well, look around you. Everyone, more or less, you know, after a certain age, the great majority of the population are having sex. Are they satisfied? Are they happy? No. So it's a bluff that sex brings happiness. I was telling you that teacher who agreed that the schooling, what we're learning is nonsense. He also said to us one time in the class, he also said that, he said sex is not so wonderful. None of us believed it at the time. But he said, you know, when you're young, you think it's wonderful, but actually, you know, you get married and then you realize it's not such a big thing. An intelligent person. Maybe I should try and contact him. Another thing he said, getting a little on the side here, is that the best form of government is enlightened dictatorship. That's what we say also. But he said is not possible. Intelligent person. So We should be dhira, thoughtful. Modern society trains us to be intelligent in one sense, but not in the deepest sense, which is to be thoughtful. Lord Krishna teaches us how to develop our intelligence in the best possible way. That we should accept a guru and surrender to him. Now that might seem, well, that's not very intelligent, becoming a slave, but that actually is very intelligent, to realize that by myself, I don't have the intelligence to understand how to go, where to go. I need guidance. That is to boldly proclaim, I will do by myself, stand on your own two feet, be a success by yourself. This is another foolishness. Real intelligence begins with the humility to realize that I'm very small and I don't know what's best for me. Ke ami, ke ne amai jare tapatrai. Prabhupada used to quote this a lot, that Sanatan Goswami, who was very intelligent, he was so intelligent that as a young man he was practically forced to serve the king of Bengal. The king of Bengal found out this is a very intelligent person, and he forcibly engaged him as his prime minister. So he's very intelligent, and we find from his activities he is not just theoretically, very practical intelligence. He knew how to escape from prison when he was imprisoned by the Nawab. When eventually he refused to serve the Nawab imprisoned him. And there are so many ways which show he was very intelligent, both theoretically and practically. But when he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he submitted that people call me a pundit. They think I'm very intelligent and learned, but I don't know who I am. Who am I and why am I suffering? This is real intelligence, to ask these questions. And understanding that by bravado, you know what this means? Bravado means to show, I know what's going on. I don't need anyone to help me. This useless, just showing ourselves that, yes, I'm okay. No problem. No. But rather we should humbly submit that I need guidance. Very intelligent people, they submit themselves to others. And that way you can learn. Vidyada dati vinayam. The real sign of education is that one has become humble. But even to begin education, one has to be humble. Otherwise you can't learn. So, one should be dhira and consider what is required? What do I actually need to do? What is the actual purpose of life? And that answer, well, you could go traversing through all the different, different theories and philosophies and this and that, but concisely, you will get the right answer from Krishna. You have enough faith to accept that. Faith is required. Faith is not foolishness. Faith is, it is intelligent to have faith. Everyone has faith. Even someone who says, I don't have faith in anything. I don't believe in anything. Then you have to ask them, do you believe what you just said? Think about it. It's not possible to not have faith in anything. Even if you say, I don't believe in anything, while saying that, You have faith that the person listening to you understands what you're saying. So faith is always there. You can't say that no one, I don't have faith in anything. It's a lie. It's not possible to not have faith in anything. So we all have faith, but intelligence is to place our to find out where to place our faith in that which will be actually beneficial to us. But then if we have to go through all the different ideas that have ever been current in the world and which are being produced more and more, new again and again, there's no end to it. And you become more confused. If you think I'll sort out through all the different philosophies and find out, there's no end. Therefore, Lord Krishna says to approach those who are tattva-darshi, those who have seen the truth. And then you may say, well, that doesn't help. I don't know what the truth is, so how can I know someone who has seen the truth? Such a person has certain symptoms. We may not understand the truth directly, but there are certain symptoms of a self-realized soul. This is all discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna asked Krishna that, what are the symptoms? Stita pragyasya ka bhasha samadhi stasya keshava. He asks, what are the symptoms of a self-realized person? And Lord Krishna explains that one who is free from desires for sense gratification, such a person is stita pragya, means one whose intelligence is fixed. Srila Prabhupada was asked a similar question by the late John Lennon, who was incredibly famous in the Western world. It's like he was famous throughout the English-speaking world to the level that Amitabh, and popular to the level that Amitabh Bachchan is in the Hindi-speaking world. So considerably bigger figure than Amitabh Bachchan in the, you know, among all the flies, the materialistic people. He was considered, so he asked Srila Prabhupada, him and his second wife, they asked Srila Prabhupada, how can we know who is a real guru? It's a good question. Even though they weren't serious to take the answer, but it's a good question. So Srila Prabhupada said, you find out that person who is always speaking about Krishna. That is the goal of life, to understand God, to be devoted to Him. So one who is absorbed in that is the proper guru. Of course, there's more to that answer if we go deeper. That what they speak should also be according to parampara. And it should be without desire for self-promotion. Sometimes people speak of Krishna, but they do so in a way to advertise themselves as a great bhakta. Srila Prabhupada was completely devoid of any desire for personal aggrandizement. Srila Prabhupada was transparently extremely interested in communicating Krishna to everybody. He wasn't interested in promoting himself. He always considered himself a humble servant of the parampara. These are the symptoms of a genuine guru. One who is fortunate, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavanji, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. One who is fortunate will come into contact with a genuine sadhu. It requires good fortune, the mercy of God, because a genuine sadhu will not advertise I am a genuine sadhu. Everyone come, take dust from my feet. He won't advertise like that. He will speak on the principle that we should associate with sadhus, and he will extend his association. But he doesn't have an advertising agency to promote himself. He's not making a show of love of Krishna. He just does love Krishna. An excellent example of Srila Prabhupada's transparency. By transparency, I mean that he's not acting for the public. He's not making a show of what he thinks the public should like. Was at the deity installation that Srila Prabhupada oversaw in Amsterdam, in Holland. So the national television was there. And Srila Prabhupada came and he saw that nothing was properly prepared by the devotees. And he started blasting them, shouting at all the devotees. This is live on national TV. He got more and more angry at all the devotees. He didn't care what the public thought. He thought that we are calling Krishna and you're not preparing properly to receive Krishna. He didn't think that, oh, the TV's there, okay, let me smile and hold a flower. He blasted them. He wasn't an actor. He was genuinely, transparently interested in serving Krishna. Here in Delhi, there was a pandal program arranged with thousands of people. And during the lecture, Prabhupada called on stage some American hippie who engaged in a shouting match with Srila Prabhupada on the stage. He was shouting at Prabhupada and Prabhupada was shouting back at him. And eventually the devotees dragged the hippie off. And many people left and they thought, why has Swamiji become upset? But Prabhupada was showing that, well, there are many things that could be deduced from this, because Srila Prabhupada in his lecture had been talking about how one has to be submissive to approach a guru. And by calling this hippie on the stage, who was a rascal, Prabhupada demonstrated how just the opposite. It's example by showing the opposite. How by challenging, Prabhupada was saying in his lecture, by challenging you cannot approach the guru, you cannot understand. So many people were disturbed because people have this stereotyped idea that a sadhu is one who always smiles and everything's, he never chastises anyone, but nowadays it seems to me that often we kind of stereotype Prabhupada and we think, oh, he was, you know, very nice, very kind. Undoubtedly he was very nice, very kind, but he was very heavy. And from what I could see, of course, I joined ISKCON towards the end of Prabhupada's manifest pastimes. But, turn that cell phone off! Prabhupada would shout at people quite often. Just giving an example. So, did you enjoy that? Being shouted at? It's not enjoyable, is it? Shruti Kirti Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's servant, told that Prabhupada used to shout at me and I felt terrible. I felt like I wanted to, you know, enter. I wish the earth would swallow me up. And he said, I'd do anything to have Prabhupada shout at me again now. Prabhupada's gone now. He's not there to shout at us. So we often stereotype and we think, but actually, yeah, what I was saying is that from what I saw myself and all the devotees, I remember when Prabhupada came in London, and the whole room was full of devotees from all over Europe, huge temple room. you know, several hundred devotees, and they were all, you know, just very much in awe of Prabhupada. Like almost scared, you could say, because Prabhupada's heavy, heavy presence. The direct representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very heavy presence. Everyone felt that. You came Prabhupada's presence and it's, you know, should be nervous. If you weren't nervous, then Prabhupada would make you nervous. In other words, if you were complacent, then Prabhupada would cut you to pieces. Often he did that. So, not predictable. How his Srila Prabhupada, we could see in his behavior, completely the servant of Krishna. The servant of the parampara, not the servant of the public. Not that what they think I should be like, I should be like. He wasn't molded by the public. He was molded by, I'm not going to shout again, but please turn your cell phones off. He was molded by his whole existence was how to serve the order of his guru. Heavy, that's heavy. To take the order, the example, the order of the guru. Janme janme prabhu se, they're completely surrendered. That guru mokha padma vaka chitete kariya aika arna kari homane asha. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told Srila Prabhupada to preach among the English-speaking people. He took that so seriously that he left Vrindavan in old age when the body is giving so much trouble and went to untold trouble to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world on the order of his guru. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's a real disciple. That's spiritual life. That's why guru means heavy. And shishya means who's in the control, in the shasan, who's in the discipline. It's not a mutual flattery club. I praise you, you praise me, you're so nice, oh, you're so nice. That can be there, but the relationship is substantial. It's based on surrender to Krishna, which is simple and natural and nice, but for conditioned souls, it appears to be very painful. Because we have so many material attachments. And we don't give them up very easily. It seems very painful to give them up. It seems easier. In one way, it is easier to be a fool. It's not difficult to be a fool. You just do what everyone else is doing, and you'll be a fool. But to be intelligent, to be dhira, to be viveki, it requires conscious decision. To take up Krishna consciousness means to go against the current of the whole human society. It's not easy in the sense that it's much easier to get public approval. We like to be considered normal and respected by others and do what others say, and we don't have to think much. If you just do what everyone else does, then you don't have to think much. People are often surprised when they think of Nazi Germany, that how did all the Germans follow Hitler? How did they all agree to invade bordering countries and persecute Jews and others? They were normal people, you could say. But they just went along with it. It's easier. We're talking about John Lennon. He was a philosopher of sorts. So one of the things he said was, living is easy with eyes closed. There's that idea, no? That see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. But that means you're a fool. If you don't see the evil, then you're a fool. Lord Krishna enjoins us, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha doshanu darshanam. We should see. We should be intelligent enough to see that this material world is full of the miseries of birth, death, old age and disease. If you say, I won't see it, then you're a fool. So to be actually intelligent means to go against the whole flow of human society. In many ways it's not easy. But it's the only path of actual development, of our actual self-interest. Anything we do which is not in line with our eternal well-being, by taking up Krishna consciousness, we're actually acting against our own self-interest. And what could be more foolish than that? Isn't it foolish to act against your own self-interest? I mean, you might do it, for instance, as a kind of sacrifice. Someone sacrifices their life for the sake of the country. Then they get a posthumous Veer Chakra or something. It doesn't help them very much, but you sacrifice your life for the sake of... That's glorious, okay. But something like, for instance, smoking. And on the packet it says, smoking causes cancer, or something like that. And so people, there's no benefit whatsoever. And it's bad for health. So isn't that foolish? But people are doing it, despite that. They're smoking. It's so like that. It's people are spending their whole lives, they're addicted, just like people are addicted to smoking. Even though they know it's not good for them, but nevertheless they do it. Willingly. So, we spend our whole lives acting in a manner which is against our own self-interest. Why is that? Well, one reason is sangha dosh, bad association. Someone may think, I'm not going to smoke anymore. Finished. Then he goes and meets his friends, and they all pull out their cigarettes. They offer one to him, and he says, no, I'm not going to smoke it. Oh, come on. Don't be unsociable. They say, oh, okay. It's easier. All right, I'll tell you what. Everyone else is smoking, I'll also smoke. And they're digging him also. Don't be unsociable. What's wrong with you? So it's easier to go along with it, even though it's against his own self-interest. So in the same way, if we want to be Krishna conscious, some people say, come on, what's wrong with you? And then they'll mock you and this. And so we have to keep good association. Keep association with devotees, those who know what the value of life is and who are determined that even if the whole world is against us, my dedication is to the lotus feet of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj was like that. Now Nrisimha Chaturdashi is coming up. Prahlad is more glorious than Nrisimha. Actually, we can't say, but because Lord Nrisimhadeva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he appeared for the sake of Prahlad. So he himself became the servant of Prahlad. He is Prahlada Hlada Dai. We sing every day. Prahlada Hlada Daiyane. That means unto Prahlada Hlada Dai. Prahlad means full bliss. It was a name given by his parents. They didn't know what it meant. His brothers' names were Ahlad, Sanghlad, and something else Lad. So, Prahlad. Ahlad, Sanghlad, anyway. So, but real happiness means service to Krishna. And the Prahlad's happiness, where does that come from? That is given by, that's coming from Nrisimhadev. Therefore, one name for Nrisimhadev is Prahlada Hlada Dai, one who gives happiness to Prahlad. So everyone was against him. There was not a single person who agreed with what he was doing, but he went on with it. So it's good to remember Prahlad Maharaj. We're enjoined to have good association, but if we can't always have it, then remember Prahlad, who kept his treasure of bhakti. He didn't always show it. When there was an opportunity, he showed it. And when challenged by his father, he was very open. He very openly told him, fearlessly, that foolish persons like yourselves have uncontrolled senses and go to hell. Openly told him. Adanta go bhir vishatanta misram pun. What is that? Matirna krishne paratasvato va mitopi paddita grihavratanam. Adanta go bhir vishatanta misram punah punas charvita charvananam. Why it is Hiranyakashipu, why are you in this Krishna consciousness? What is this? If it's so good, why doesn't everyone do it? Sometimes people ask that, isn't it? If it's so good, then why everyone doesn't do it? Prahlad gave the answer. That certain people are determined not to be Krishna conscious. And they're determined to indulge in sense gratification, so that even if you, whatever you, by their own now I've become a philosopher, and you're philosophically searching, but deliberately avoiding Krishna. Even if you come across Krishna consciousness, just say, no, we're interested in philosophy, not that. There was one book I saw, someone showed me, The 5-Minute Philosopher, something like that. How you can impress people that you know about philosophy. You just drop a few lines and pretend you know about philosophy. You'll quote something from Rousseau or something from Sartre and something from Hume, and in this way pretend to be. And in the introduction to the book it says, by philosophy we don't mean the kind of thing that those Hare Krishna devotees speak. By philosophy they mean, apparently it's intellectual mumbo jumbo meant for avoiding Krishna. That's what generally goes under the title of philosophy. That's why we say philosophy. So people are determined to avoid Krishna, even by your own endeavor. You'll never find Krishna if from the beginning you've decided, I won't surrender to Krishna, nor by the instructions of others, nor by having interfaith convocations. Well, what do you think about God? Well, I think God's like that. Oh, well, that's very interesting. Well, in our tradition, it says God's like that. And I don't know if they discuss God very much. I think I don't know what they discuss. But anyway, interfaith, if they're serious, they should take Bhagavad Gita as it is and accept it. If they want to know God, they can take it. Prabhupada is presenting, here is God. You want, take. If you don't want, then you're Hiranyakashipu. Who is Hiranyakashipu? Adanta Gopiya. Dedicated to not controlling the senses. Dedicated to going to hell. Dedicated to chewing that which has already been chewed. Chewing the chewed. So, that is chewing. Chewing the chewed in so many species of life. Those are intelligent on attaining this human form of life, they stop and think, where am I going? What am I doing? Where should I go now? Those who are fortunate, means those who are sincere, they will be guided on that path by which they will attain the highest perfection, the only real perfection, which is to surrender at Krishna's lotus feet. So that's it in a nutshell. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions, please? Do we have a roaming mic? Yeah. Or otherwise, you can write questions. Like to write down and give them? All right, say something in the meantime. The whole society is being destroyed by the media. Well, it's not only the media, but the media has a significant role to play, that's true. How can we stop the media? You can't stop the media. What are you going to do? Go and blow up the television companies? You can't stop them. So in New Zealand, some devotees blew up a slaughterhouse. This was, you know, when Prabhupada was present. I think they blew themselves up in the process also. And Prabhupada said, that's not our process. That's not going to stop slaughtering animals. Only by Krishna, by spreading Krishna consciousness. It's the only way. What are you going to do? Okay. The only possibility is to bring people to a higher level of consciousness. That's true, it'll take a lot of time. Well, if Krishna wants, it can, or if we want seriously enough, it can happen more quickly. We have to do the best we can under the situation. We're not, you know, we can't force the world to change. It is our duty to serve the mission of the acharyas by preaching Krishna consciousness as best we can under the circumstances. But we can't forcibly change the world. Come join us. We need more full-time preachers. If you really want to do something, put your money where your mouth is, as the saying goes. Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. That's the modern way of saying it. Come and join. It's a big mission. We have a lot of work to do. So we require dedicated workers. Part-time workers, also, everyone can help. But full-time workers, obviously, they can do more. So we need more full-time dedicated workers. Those who have got the spirit of Prabhupada, they're going on. Just like I was saying, Keshav Bharati Maharaj. You can go and get his associate. He's, you know, his whole life, he's serving. Now so many of our God brothers are passing away. Suhotra Maharaj has passed away. Whole life just fully dedicated to Prabhupada's mission. Working hard. You'd go on days and nights, no eating, no sleeping. Just working on preparing the Bhagavatam courses. He was doing that. Then passed away. So many like that. Sripad Maharaj recently passed away. Whole life. Met Prabhupada. He was PhD scholar from Manipur. And PhD student in America. Had a bright career ahead of him. Joined Prabhupada's mission. Finished his PhD and spent his life preaching Prabhupada. Taking Prabhupada's orders. Prabhupada gave him two principal orders. Preach among scientists and preach in Manipur. And that's what he did his whole life. Then he passed away. So all these devotees are making a difference. If they hadn't been in the world, it would have been a worse place. That you are all here now, hearing about Krishna, is due to the cumulative effort of all the devotees over the years. There's various detractors of ISKCON, like Ritvik Vadis and all kinds of different people. They like to point out all the faults in ISKCON. And there are a lot of faults in ISKCON, no doubt. We're not saying it's utopia. It's an attempt to preach perfection in an imperfect world. But at the same time, we can't minimize the efforts of those devotees who, despite all the difficulties of working in, trying to preach Krishna consciousness in a world which is not very inclined to accept it, and with all our own internal inabilities or whatever, they go on preaching, pushing on the movement throughout their lives, and there is a positive effect. You are all positive effects. So to presume that everything in ISKCON is bad or wrong is bad and wrong? I would say. You could say it's a subjective opinion. But life is like an ice cream, enjoy before melting. It's a comment. All right, if that's what you want, you know, go. Go and take ice cream. We're not stopping you. We're just proposing that there's better things to do than eat ice cream. Enjoy now, suffer later. That's material life. How a human who is engaged in this material world and performing his activities can worship Lord Krishna, and what is the right way to devotion towards Sri Krishna? Yeah, everyone should engage as much as possible in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Arjanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. You can do that full time if you join as a brahmachari in the ashram. Otherwise, you can do it part time. But everyone should engage in devotional activities to Krishna. The more we do, the more we are benefited. So how do we serve Krishna? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. This is the way. If you, like I said, if you have other duties, accept material responsibilities, you do that in a spirit of service to Krishna. When we lost our intelligence to serve Krishna, how we have to improve our intelligence to keep our full faith in Guru and Krishna? When do we lose our intelligence? Well, that's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna bhuli se jivanadi bahimuk atev maya tare daya shongshara duk. Forgetting Krishna. When? Anadi. Long, so long ago, it's not traceable. Doesn't really matter when. It's not the most, like if someone's sick, they come to the doctor's main concern is not to try to analyze how and when he got sick. That might be helpful to some extent, but the real thing is to cure him. So how can we improve our intelligence to keep our full faith in Guru and Krishna? Again, you keep good association. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Our desires are molded to a large extent by our association. I was speaking of Prahlad Maharaj. He didn't get association, but he was always... He never took, even though he was surrounded by materialistic people, he never took the association. He never interacted with them. He never believed what they said. He always remembered the words of his guru, Narad Muni. So, Hare Krishna. More questions. All right, we have another program I'm supposed to go to. Oh, we should go, isn't it? We're late. What is the extent of our free will? This much. Serve Krishna or not, up to you. Even after hearing so much about the importance of human life and becoming dhira, as you explained, still, due to ignorance and material allurements, we are not able to follow. We get weak. Please help. Answer, please read the last portion of Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, where this is discussed. And go and ask Keshav Bharati. Actually, take these. I have to go, I have another program. Take these questions to Keshav Bharati Maharaj. He'll be happy to tell you. And I have to go. So please excuse me, but you can get better answers from him anyway. So he's up in the guest house. He'll be happy to see you.
Hare Krishna, I would like to thank Maharaj for his wonderful
association. You're very kind. Thank you very much. Jogadapichare kichu nahi.